But first, let's talk about beauty in the workplace. How many of us would take the time to make the office beautiful? And why would we bother? Richard spoke to Dr. Libby Sander to find out more.
On best practice, we've spent a lot of time examining the workplace and how things like open plan offices, noise, even unpleasant colleagues can affect the way that we work. But we have never talked about beauty. My guest today has spent a lot of time thinking about what happens if you assess all of the micro factors of the office environment, including beauty, together, rather than just on their own. So how do they all add up? What's the sum total? And how do we measure those outcomes? Dr. Libby Sander is Assistant Professor of Organisational Behaviour at Bond University. She's just published a study called Psychological Perceptions Matter, Developing the Reactions to the Physical Work Environment Scale. Libby joins me now. Welcome to Best Practice.
Hello, Richard.
Now, I think we all understand personalities. In fact, we did a whole show earlier this year on assholes, basically. And we understand things like office layout. How does beauty affect the workplace?
So what's interesting is that it's something that, as you said, hasn't really been looked at in terms of the workplace before. So, you know, you might have worked in an office in the past that just had lots of grey carpet and grey cubicles and maybe the odd dead plant in the corner. And we've been very focused on making our houses beautiful and, you know, more recently, you know, our cities. And we're really seeing how the urban landscape is changing and really becoming much more beautified. And there's really good science why we should do that. But unfortunately, the workplace has sort of been forgotten about. And what's been fantastic in uncovering this research is actually how important it is.
So this is part of our sort of sense of the aesthetic. We appreciate it as humans. So it's going to have an effect at work too.
Absolutely. It's an innate human need. So regardless of whether we sort of disagree about, you know, what is beautiful and what is not beautiful, it's this fundamental human need that we have. And so, yeah, unsurprisingly, we actually have a need for that in the workplace as well. And it has a significant impact on a whole range of different attitudes, feelings, behaviours and outcomes for the organisation as well.
There have been different studies before. How was yours different?
So what's been done, there has been a lot of research done on the workplace. You know, we've heard a lot about open plan offices and desks and, you know, even greenery recently, which, you know, is a big part of beauty. But a lot of this research has been done in isolation. So, for example, we might look at, well, what is the effect of a lack of privacy on, you know, someone's happiness or satisfaction at work? Or what is the effect of having plants in the workplace? Does it make us more or less stressed? But what we haven't been so good at is really assessing, well, what is the interaction of all of these things? So when we add everything up, what effect does it actually have on people's thinking, on the way that they feel and the way that they perform? So the research that I did really started off with, as you said, looking at the individual and understanding what are the most important reactions that people have to the workplace. So how can we explain the relationship between the way that a plant might affect our productivity? And the way that we do that, first off, is to really understand how do people respond to their environment? What are those reactions that are the most important? And then after that, we can figure out, well, what kind of things should we put in the workplace in order to get people to have those reactions, to predict those reactions?
All right. So how did you go about it? What did you measure? Who did you talk to?
So we did a number of studies over around about a two-year period. So we actually developed a theoretical framework and then a scale to predict what these reactions actually are. And so we did that across a whole range of different industries around the world and trying to figure out, well, what are these reactions? And what we were particularly focused on is it shouldn't matter whether you care about the environment or not, because people will say, well, you know, I'm someone that, you know, the aesthetics are really important to me and it's, you know, it really matters what the colour is. And then you'll have other people who'll say, oh, look, I wouldn't even notice if the building fell down. And what we established is that regardless of how important the environment is to a person in the workplace, these reactions are still the same. Then we discovered three key reactions that the workplace needs to provoke. So when you go into a workplace, you need to have a reaction of focus, one of a sense of beauty, and one of connection as well.
I was intrigued by how the three of them must kind of interplay, because focus means an ability to kind of not be distracted, to be able to get on with it. And in workplaces that are increasingly about, I suppose, dealing with ideas, you can see the value in that. But we also value that ability to connect. Those two things are not opposites, but there's a conflict there.
Absolutely. And I think that's what is, exciting about this research is because, as you said, there's this real tension at the moment where we've been focused on collaboration and innovation and putting everyone together in a room with this idea that that will kind of spark conversations and better problem solving and better creativity. And to some extent it does. But what my research found is that if people can't basically do their primary job, and for many knowledge workers, that is thinking, it's analysis, it's being able to do focused, concentrated work. And when people can't do that, they actually become more withdrawn, they become more hostile, and they end up communicating less and collaborating less. So we actually need both of these things. But in many workplaces at the moment, the focus part has been largely taken away.
I'm intrigued by how we map beauty onto this too, because although I think workplaces have given some thought to getting people to collaborate, perhaps less to enabling them to focus, very few, I would imagine, have thought about beauty at all.
Absolutely right. Very few have. However, it's starting to emerge, and that has come through, I think, urban environment research and certainly research in retail, where environmental psychology has been really well informed in terms of how do we attract people to say you come into a store and then behave in a certain way in that store, stay there as long as possible, and hopefully buy things while they're in that store. But we've sort of forgotten about the workplace. So there are a number of factors, and one of them is this idea of biophilia, which is our human affinity with nature. So that includes things like plants, but also curved shapes, natural materials, things like timber, which we're now seeing obviously more and more in many different settings, and the use of certain colours, the placement of art and so forth. So we're really consciously thinking, how can we make the environment more beautiful? Because when we do, there are so many positive outcomes in terms of both the employee and the organisation.
What are those outcomes? Are we talking about productivity, less stress? What do they add up to?
One particular study had showed that just by taking sort of 40-second micro breaks, and they monitored people's sort of brain responses, that you could have a reduction in stress just by looking at a lovely green wall or, a lovely setting in terms of nature. But, other outcomes are, largely it puts us into a more positive mood. So when we're in a more positive mood, we're more likely to be creative, we have more commitment to the organisation, we tend to perform better and be more satisfied in our jobs as well. So there's a whole host of physiological reactions as well in terms of lowering our cortisol levels, making us feel less stressed, sleeping better at night. So it's a really interesting fact that this has been so overlooked in organisations.
Because most of us don't think in those terms. What we know is that we like things that are more beautiful. We like, and we also value that ability to focus and get on with work and have an opportunity to collaborate, to have those serendipitous encounters that can often lead us to have ideas we never would have had any other way. So we kind of know what we like, and you're able to kind of pull apart why it matters and how it affects us.
Absolutely. And to put these three things together, which hasn't been done in the past, to say actually we need to have all of these three reactions present. So as you said, it's not enough just to have a collaborative environment, because that's going to be tiring and draining at some point for people. When it's noisy or they are distracted and interrupted constantly, that's quite depleting on a person's cognitive resources. And so then their attention suffers, their mistakes increase, their ability to be productive goes down. down. So having these three factors together has a lot of effects overall that we haven't seen before. So for example, having, you know, a beautiful environment, or having, you know, greenery that can also perhaps, you know, act as a buffer to some reactions can help us to restore. So it can sort of reduce the effect of the noisy environment. You know, we might be less irritated by that person who's always eating their lunch at their desk and talking loudly on the phone. You know, if we have a very beautiful outlook, if we can see something that makes us feel less stressed. So they certainly do help reduce some of the inevitable issues that we have in offices.
Libby, did you find that there are sort of standout employers or standout sectors where, in fact, all of these things are being delivered?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, there are still very few, but I'm happy to say that that's definitely increasing. So this whole idea of the aesthetic focus is becoming a lot more prevalent. So what we're seeing in terms of the way that work is developing is that it's very much being influenced by experience design and even gamification in some cases, I saw in the research. So people are wanting to come to work, you know, good talent are wanting to have this experience at work as they do now in many other aspects of their life. And so employers are thinking about, well, how can I create this experience for people when they're at work? And that includes other things like food, you know, aspects of health and wellness. It's all being designed to try and change what the how people are going about responding to the workplace.
Now, that sounds to me like a Silicon Valley giant you're describing there. And famously, of course, they want to keep you at work as long as possible to get a lot out of you. Is that who you're talking about, or are we talking about other companies?
Look, that's certainly true that the technology companies have led the way, but no, it's across all sectors now, from accounting firms, you know, law firms, you know, looking, they're sort of seeing the effects of working these extremely long hours, of, you know, a shortage of key talent, of burnout, of, you know, rising mental health issues in the workplace, and really starting to rethink, well, you know, what are we doing? What if we have people in the workplace and because of the design of the workplace, people are only at 50% of their capacity? What's that actually costing us as an organisation? The environment really does have a huge impact on us psychologically and physically, which isn't, it's pretty common sense when we say it like that, but it's something that has been missed a little bit.
I think despite your research and despite some research for some time, we're still in an age in which open plan seems to be the norm rather than the exception, because it's much cheaper in terms of capital costs at the beginning or when you do a renovation. So for employers now hearing about this, perhaps still being committed to the open plan approach because of the savings they can see, what would you say?
So I think the organisations that are leading the way in this space are now looking at the workplace as, you know, it isn't one size fits all. And I think that's what my research really showed, is that, you know, I confirmed, well, every individual is different, you know, as you said at the beginning. And so people have different needs in terms of the way that they work. And also, you know, most people in the organisation are doing different types of work. So we might have 300 or 3,000 lawyers, but we also have a whole range of other jobs and they don't all work in the same way. So the first thing I'd say is that one size doesn't fit all, that we really need to sit down and look at who are the people we have in this organisation, what are the kinds of things that they need to do, and then design a workplace where there are a variety of different spaces to cater to those needs. So the sort of acres of open plan with poor acoustics are, you know, it's just not a good idea. It doesn't work for anybody. And, you know, early research on hot desking is showing that for, you know, a large number of people, that doesn't really work either.
No, indeed. Libby, it's been really interesting. Thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Libby Sander is an assistant professor of organisational behaviour at Bond University. This is Best Practice on RN, the ABC Listen app, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne Arnold.